This is Ron Moss Ministries. I guess I want to talk a little bit about budgets. You know, we think about or money or savings accounts or checking accounts. You know, when you talk about money, you know, the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. I want to say money can cause you problems, depending on how much you have or how much you don't have. I can remember a long time ago when I was working with a group of adults. We all made a pledge or tried to make a pledge with each other that we would try, as our kids were in at elementary school age, that we would make a commitment to put X amount of dollars in their account until they were 18 years old. I think it was a great idea. I think I've probably been the one that came up with the idea, but I was probably one of the main ones that didn't follow through. You know, I probably, the money that I gave my daughter, I should have put it in an account and invested it for my daughter. Or, you know, gave her some money and then put the other money back and invested it. And it's fast forward to now, she's a senior in high school, and we are praying that her good grades, once this pandemic is over, will help her with scholarship monies and other monies. And of course, we'll do our part, or I'll do my part. But it could be a lot better if I would have budgeted or had her budgeted in my mind when she was in elementary school age. You know, a lot of us, and I'm a small business owner, and so, you know, there's a good chance pretty soon, if this pandemic don't pass, that I'll be struggling a little bit. You know, but again, you know, it's another lesson learned. You know, the Lord has blessed me to make money, and instead of spending it, a lot of it, I should have been putting it away. And, you know, back in the day, you know, our parents or our grandparents would say, you know, you want to always keep some money away for a rainy day. And man, we're not in a rainstorm, we're in a storm. You know, it ain't raining, it's storming. And how many of us have spent all of our life living from paycheck to paycheck, and then we convince ourselves that's all we can do? You know, when all you could have done, and I learned a valuable lesson. I got to tell you this. I learned a valuable lesson from my grandmother. You know, my grandfather died, if I'm not mistaken, in 1985. And so it left my grandmother home. And my grandmother was, you know, determined to stay by herself. And so I think, if I'm not mistaken, she would get maybe $400 a month in my grandfather's retirement money, which, you know, me and you, all of us know who are listening to this podcast, know that's not enough to take care of anybody. And I can remember, because my grandmother had so many different operations, that it was nothing to have a large hospital bill, because insurance wouldn't cover it all. In her case, insurance would cover not but a little bit of it. But she would always tell me that, you know, this month she would send the hospital $10 here. This month she might can only send them $5 here. This month she might only was able to send them $50 here. But she always ended up eventually with a zero balance. She would always end up eventually paying that bill. And I thought about that as we're going through, and as I've been going through this pandemic as it relates to budgeting, and said, wow, what if I just would have put back this week $5 here, and that week $10 here, that week I had $50 there, that it would add up. It's always going to add up. I remember one year I saved all the change, and I ended up giving it to my daughter for Christmas, and it ended up being over $800 worth for quarters, dimes, and nickels. And instead of spending it, we should have invested it. We should have put it in savings or checking or something for her to hold on to as she got older. But unfortunately, she learned from her daddy about loving to spend money. You know, some of the things we show them and some of the things we teach them are not really good. And so I say this, and I say this to all of you who are listening to this podcast, that, you know, it's not too late. You know, if you're getting, if you're blessed enough to, and I won't, maybe blessed is not a good word, but if you're unemployed and you're able to get, from what I understand as a possibility, you're getting $300 and something plus $600, what a good time to put something away. You really can't do a massive shopping. You really can't go shopping everywhere. You really can't go and spend all this money. Hopefully you're using it to pay necessary bills. You know, if you got to pay light bill or pay a water bill or pay rent, and they won't let you, they won't give you a waiting period, or they won't give you any relief because of the pandemic, you know, go ahead and handle that. If you have to buy groceries, you know, do what you got to do. If you got to get gas for your automobile, do what you have to do. You know, whatever you need to do, make sure you do that. But then make sure you add to that putting away a little bit here. You know, $20 every other week with a commitment not to touch it. You know, if you can do that for a whole year, then you say, okay, I can do it another year. It's kind of like fasting or going on a diet. You know, doctor has told us that, you know, we need to be in better shape. And I'll talk about this more on one of my health segments. The doctor has told us that, hey, you know, your blood pressure is high, your cholesterol level is high. You need to go out there and do some walking. You need to exercise. If you lose some weight, and we make that immediate investment, right, at first, right? We get out there and we join the gym, right? Excited, join the gym. And, you know, that first few months we're committed. And then slowly but surely, we kind of start falling back until our regular routine. And then we start making excuses about our health, why we can't exercise, why we can't do something to keep, first and foremost, keep us feeling better, feeling more healthier, and then ultimately keeping us alive longer. And so here we are, you know, how many times did we start out? You know, we get our big income tax check back. Oh, I'm gonna put away a couple of thousand out of this $7,000 or $8,000 I'm getting. Or if I got $3,000, I'm gonna put away $300. And then every time I get paid, I'm gonna put $20 towards it. It sounds good, but then we see that new vehicle, or we see that new outfit, or, you know, we want to look like the Joneses. So to live like the Joneses, you got to spend all your money. Now, the Joneses got a lot of money. The Joneses are wealthy. And you trying to make it from check to check, but you still want to live like them. There's a consequence when you decide to live like somebody else. Ultimately, you pay more for it. Think about that. For you to live like somebody else instead of living the best you can live, you end up paying more for it. Look at your kids right now. If you got little ones, look at them. If they're in elementary school or middle school and you don't have anything in the bank for them, that's a problem. It also means that you're not leaving them anything if something were to happen to you. Besides the insurance policy, which is another good thing to have, it's also good to just teach them how to save money by you saving money. Wouldn't it be nice every year you would show your child or your children your statement, hey, this is what I'm doing for y'all. Wow. And now in their brainstem, they know how important it is to save money because you're showing them what you're doing and how you're doing it. You have a lot of budget conversations with your kids about why you have to save. And so it gets planted into their brainstem. That's something also beyond the clothes, beyond the haircuts, beyond the nails, beyond the manicures and pedicures, beyond the fashion statements, beyond going out to eating expensive food, beyond all of that. Also, what's important is how I save money and how I live to see another day. So if I ever run into another storm, I can weather it because I was smart enough to save in anticipation of something coming. Even do it, maybe you want to save to buy a house and you got a goal in mind. I'm asking you to have a goal in mind about saving money. You know what? And I'm just using this as an example. You're at home and you're paying your bills and you go, yeah, you know, after I paid everything, it looks like I got $10 left over. You know, maybe I could put two away. Maybe the next time I can put five away. Eventually, it will add up. You know, it's an old saying, to be better, you got to do better. And I hope that, you know, as we all are going through this pandemic, that you get a chance to really think about some things that you can do differently. I hope from a budget standpoint, you think about how you can actually save. You know, ultimately, I want you, you know, when you look at your kids, you're their example. Not all going to be good, but you're still their example. And I would say probably one of the most important examples that you can be is teaching them how to save money. You know, maybe out of, you know, every other month or every 2 months, yeah, go and spend an extra $100, you know, on something. But don't do it every time you get paid. Don't expect something every month. Don't expect something every other week. Because this is going to be your future. And even for you, you know, I think in this day and age, we need to have a car budget, you know, all kind of budgets really set up. So when storms come, we can survive those storms. I hope and pray that you sit down, look at your spending habits and change them. Sit down, look at what you need and what you really don't need and get rid of that stuff. And then the third thing is looking at the long-term effect of saving and the long-term effect of spending. And if more continues to go out than come in, your problem, your budgeting problem, won't ever go away. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Oh, yeah. Peace.
This is Ron Moss Ministries. You know, with all of this pandemic going on and, you know, unemployment rates are skyrocketing, I guess we can say that we are in a new kind of recession, but we're in one. People don't have jobs. People are hurting for money. People are hurting for food. People are hurting for all the necessities that they need to live on this planet called Earth. It is tough for some folk right now. And so first and foremost, I want to make sure that we continue to lift them up in prayer, continue to give where you can give, whether that's financially or physically. You know, be a part of a nonprofit right now if you have the ability and the capability of doing that. You know, I always say this, and you'll hear this in a lot of my podcasts, God's greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then he says you have to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. And so we have to keep that in mind until this passes over, because it will pass over. But in the meantime, and sometime the meantime can be a mean time, that we have to be diligent in our efforts to take care of our neighbors and allow our neighbors to take care of us too. But what I really wanted to talk about was, as I thought about this, I'm fortunate enough to, most of the time, my daughter and my niece are here, and I'm always observing them and observing what they're doing. And of course, they have homework there, luckily, because we have internet access and Wi-Fi access, and they're able to keep up with their homework and keep up with their school work that they have to do. My daughter is a senior, so of course, she just told me yesterday that they're not going back to school, and so they're trying to figure out a way about the seniors graduating and if there will be an opportunity to have a graduation or what options they will have. My point is that they've been fortunate enough to be in an environment where they have someone who is at least communicating with them on various topics and subjects. You know, I do Bible studies with them, and at one point we were doing collectively together, we were doing exercises here on the floor in the living room. You know, I would show them a series of exercises because I feel it's important that you do all you can do. So on the back end, if something happens, nobody can say they never told me or never showed me. And so it made me think about all of you who have been blessed to have a son or a daughter or grandkids that are residing with you through this pandemic, who possibly are getting on your nerves or possibly being agitated and irritated because they don't have anything to do. They're confined, not just in the home, but just in the front yard or the side yard. If you're doing this pandemic right by keeping them safe, they may not understand it because they're used to the freedom that they usually have. And believe it or not, freedom is being at school. Whenever you can be around authoritative figures who you know going to look out for your good and you not be able to do what you want to do on a regular basis or at least half of the time, you know, then that's freedom. And so I think that the thing that I think about is that what type of structure are you giving them? Here's an opportunity. This is my point. I'm rambling a little bit, but here's my opportunity. This is what I'm saying. You've got a son, a daughter, or, you know, could be cousins, you know, who are confined in your home through this pandemic period. And my question would be, what are you doing to keep their mind geared up, to keep them thinking, to keep them motivated, to keep them learning, to keep them growing? And my hope is that you're not just allowing them to sit there and watch TV 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they're watching Love and Hip Hop or other reality shows that have no substance to their upgrowth or their growth period, that you would at least set aside some time and allow that time to be critical thinking time, critical conversation time, critical studying time, critical understanding that even about the pandemic, what does diseases really mean? Have you sat down and talked to them about the different diseases that have existed throughout our country over the last 100 years? You know, what a great conversation to have. That's something that you can also learn, that you can teach them, so they won't be in this stage of panic or even a stage of acting as though it's not important, to understand that when these things come around, that there is going to come a time through their generation of living that it could happen again. And because what you told them now will prepare them down the road later. They'll say, yeah, I remember my aunt or my uncle or my grandmother or my grandfather or my mother and my father. They sat down with us during that pandemic that we were going through COVID-19. And they would have different meetings and topics with us just to keep us upbeat, to keep our mind on a thinking mode. Give them projects to do. You know, one of the things that I did here is beyond the Bible studies is I've tried to give my niece and my daughter different projects, you know, looking up the first 5 presidents or, you know, all the presidents. Give me a short paragraph of each one of them. You know, now that might sound boring to you. And you yourself might not even know the first 5 presidents or know anything about them. But something about getting the mind geared up, you'll be surprised that once you get your mind, it's like eating food. You ever ate your favorite food and once you take one bite, it's hard to stop? Well, believe it or not, your brain works the same way. Once you start feeding your brain with information, guess what? It wants more information and more information and more information, because now your brain wants to grow or want you to grow along with the brain stem. You know, isn't it interesting how, you know, once you learn, you feel more confident about yourself, you feel more that you can do more, you can say more, you feel more better. And so I would say to you that, you know, don't forget about our young people. So often we assume, and we do that a lot as adults, we assume that they're okay. We assume that they're fine. We assume that everything's good. Like I do throughout the night, if I'm up, peek in the bedroom and check on my daughter. You know, she's working on her second EP, and so she's writing music, and I probably irritate her. I probably get on her nerves, but that's what we do as parents, right? That's who we are. You know, and I believe down the road, when she gets older, she'll look back and appreciate it more and more. But think about different activities that you can do. Have conversations. What a way for God to allow us to go back to family time when folk would sit at the dinner table and talk before they ate or conversate about the day. You know, what a way. When was the last time your family sat at the dinner table all at once? Think about this for a minute. And you went around the table and talked about different subjects and topics. Wow. That would be great to do, right? Why don't you try to do that once or twice a week, where you tell everybody, come on, y'all, let's sit at the table. And even if you're going to have snacks, it don't have to be dinner time. It could be a set aside time where at least everybody's at the table, and you have to be the leader and maybe give them projects to do. On Monday, you give them projects that they will complete by Wednesday or Thursday. And then you'll come to the table and talk about it. You know, I don't know what those are. As I told you, I just kind of do random stuff sometimes, you know, because I want to keep their mind jumping. I want to keep their mind thinking. You know, I can come back if you reach out to me and give you some ideas. But I just believe that there's so much to keep them going, you know, subjects that they're weak on, you know, let them do research on that, weak on English, have them write a page or write an essay or, you know, there's so much to do. If they're weak in math, have them do some studying, you know, some extra studying, some extracurricular activities as it relates to math. If they have a weakness with history, you know, give them a project, African-American history, give them a project on different aspects of history, and let that be part of the table discussion when you sit at the table. There is so much that we can do with young people. And I think here's a great opportunity, folks, where we're missing the opportunity to draw them closer to us, draw them closer to understanding why we work so hard, why we go and work the jobs that we work, why we pay bills. And, you know, what another conversation to sit down and actually go through your budget with your kids and show them, hey, look at what mommy do. This is what mommy has to do. Look at what daddy does. This is what daddy has to take care of. And then talk to him about when the car breaks down, how much that costs. So they can have a better understanding on when you say, no, I don't have it. I can't give that to you. And they get tight jawed because you won't give them what they want. They'll have a better understanding on why. Well, you know, mama car broke down, so I know she ain't gonna have that money because she had to get the car fixed. So she can get around and go to work, and she can take us back and forth to the places that we got to go. They'll have more compassion. A lot of kids don't understand what we go through as parents, what we go through as grandparents. So what great opportunities that we have to engage a great conversation and bring more unity in the home with our kids. You know, if you're sitting there being agitated and irritated, you know, because they're in the back making noise and they don't know what to do, then create stuff for them to do. You know, create something that they appreciate. They'll look at you differently as a mother, as a father, you know, as a grandmother, as a grandfather, as an aunt and an uncle, whoever is that guardian for that child. So my hope and my prayer is that we'll not just talk about our young people or our kids being our number one priority. It's a lot more than just talking about that. It's easy to say they come first. That's easy. How do they come first? That's the next question I would ask. How do they come first? How are you preparing them to be first? Not just in the home, but in the world, in the environment that they're going to have to go in and make it for themselves. It's not easy. It's not hard. But it's what I call a love challenge. Take on the challenge because of love. Take on the challenge because it's what God is calling us to do. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Oh, yeah.